This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We hit the field light. All day light. All night light. Here we go. Here we go.
Keep it on. Keep it on. Keep it on.
We don't hit them light.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. He is Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. It's great to be with you on a Tuesday. A ton to get to. We got Browns. We got your questions. Daryl is going to react to Browns minicamp and give us takeaways. He hasn't done that anywhere else. Even though he's done radio hits and all this stuff. No. This is the spot you come to for Browns minicamp, Browns reaction. We got Daryl coming up with that in just a bit. We're going to dive into the tribe as well. A quick reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast, including the radio.com app. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. And Daryl, let's dive into it. I mean, there's so much we have to talk about, and there's a lot to react to. I think the first thing this morning, and I stayed up and watched it, I don't know about you, the NBA Finals, and I know Cleveland isn't in it, but I think a lot of Cleveland sports fans invested because they want to see the Warriors go down. And Kevin Durant went down. The Warriors somehow didn't. They forced a game 6 yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, stupid basketball at the end by Toronto. Horrible injury to Kevin Durant. Likely blew out his Achilles. The official word's going to come today. But, I mean, you watch the replay. You watch the Zapruder film of the calf muscle contracting. That's a blown Achilles. So he's done. Probably should have never come back. Certainly, tip of the cap to him for coming back. He's probably going to pick up his player option now and stay in Golden State for one more year because he's going to get $31.5 million next year from the Warriors. So it would be smart if he does stay there one more year. My issue is, again, and I keep getting stuck with it, James, is I just wish the Cavs would have stayed together because they could have won this year. Had Kyrie not left, had LeBron stayed another year, I really believe that the Cavaliers could have come back and beat the Warriors. Then it's,
this injured Warriors team, I agree with.
Yeah.
I think LeBron is up there with, you know, because without KD, who stops LeBron?
Right.
There's no one on this Golden State team. Andre Iguodala looks like a shell of himself,
It'd
by
be
the
a
way.
Flip of the 2015 finals when Kevin Love wasn't even there from game one, and then Kyrie Irving obviously got hurt in game two and was done, and LeBron was able to some way, somehow carry the thing to 6 games. So this is a little bit of a reversal of fortunes for the Warriors, who won a title against a shorthanded Cavalier team. And here's another thing, too. This Warriors dynasty, they have no championships against a full-strength team. They have 2 championships with the super team, Kevin Durant.
They're 17 championship. The Cavs' best team was 2017. So they went up against, but it was unfair because they had KD. I get your point. Like, it was the cheat code.
Right.
You know, you had KD to a team that won 73 games.
Right. They played 2 series against the Cavaliers where you would legitimately say the teams were somewhat evenly matched. Mm-hmm. They won one, and that was because the Cavaliers were shorthanded. They lost the second one. Mm-hmm. Then they got KD and then just totally turned it into a one-sided ass-kicking contest. So, I have no rooting interest in the finals or whatever. I mean, there's part of me that would like to see Toronto win just as a middle finger to Golden State. And then there's part of me that would like to see Golden State come back because it'd be, a great story. And also, it's still the feather in the cap. The only team to beat the Golden State Warriors in their dynasty would be the 2016 Cavaliers. However, then I'm conflicted again because if Golden State comes back and wins, as I
3-1.
Talk out of both sides of my mouth, they now join the Cavaliers as the only teams to come back from 3-1 down. So I can't have a rooting interest in the finals. It's been a compelling series, I will say that. so far. I'm curious to see how the rest of it plays out, but you really feel for Kevin Durant and really for all the crap that he does take, and some of it's deserved, but for all the grief that he's gotten, I mean, for him to come back when he probably shouldn't have come back, and to put himself on the line like that when all the talk is he wants to go to New York and set up his own super team and kind of do his own thing because he got his rings and whatnot. I think those plans kind of get put on hold because I would not be surprised if he stayed in Golden State one more year to cash that $31.5 million.
I won't be surprised either. I also think this is a perfect time for Golden State to offer him the most money. Offer him the 5-year max. Offer him $200 million. Say we're gonna let you rehab this 1 year, and then you'll come back the next year, and you'll be good to go. And he might be tempted then. I think teams will still offer him the max. My point. Now he might decide, no, I'll take this money to rehab and prove myself in the playoffs next year if I come back at all.
Well, he doesn't have to prove anything.
We'll prove that he can bounce back from the Achilles and deserves a 5-year max or 4-year max, depending on whatever happens in test free agency next year.
You know what? The Knicks are so stupid. I think they'd give him the max.
I don't think it's stupid. I mean, I get it, dude. I think a team should do it. He's the best player on the planet before that injury. I mean, he was literally playing the best basketball on the planet. Here's what I'll say real quick about the Warriors. They're the most mentally tough champion I've ever seen.
Steve Kerr.
I don't know what it is. I mean, you could say Steve Kerr. You could say Steph Curry. You could say Klay Thompson. But they had no business winning that game yesterday. Kawhi Leonard goes off. DeMarcus Cousins sucks. I mean, he was awful down the stretch. Yeah. Andre Iguodala can't hit a shot, and he's getting burnt on defense. DeMarcus Cousins getting burnt by Kyle Lowry, who everyone hated on because his shot got tipped at the end of the game there by Draymond Green. And they're down 6, and the crowd's going wild. Toronto has the ball, and I know Nick Nurse called a timeout, and it was an ill-advised timeout, but he's called a lot of well-placed timeouts that have derailed Warriors' runs in this series.
Why do you take a 3 when you only need a 2?
Well, because it was just an open shot. I mean, it's just an open shot. Yeah, I mean, I think that was it.
It's kind of like baseball. I'm about the intellectual side of the game.
Sure. No, I get it.
And I hate dumb decision making. I don't care how wide open you are. You don't need the 3. You only need the 2.
I agree. I also think somehow, some way, you find a way to run a play for Kawhi.
Right.
In that instance. But the Warriors found a way to win that game. In every dynasty that's fallen, every single one ends on an ugly loss. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, if you want to call the Cavs, I know they only won one title, but they went to the finals 4 straight years. Swept by the Warriors. Miami Heat with LeBron, what happened? 5 games to San Antonio. LeBron, those are the 2 LeBron years. Kobe and Shaq, what happened? 5 games to Detroit, yep. And it took a miraculous 3-pointer by Kobe to force overtime in that game 2 to even win a game in that series. Yeah. People forget about that. Like, that's when it ends. Kawhi does that run, makes that run of his own, and it's over. It should have been over. I tweeted it was over, and it wasn't. And say what you want about Toronto.
Good call by you, by the way.
But, dude, I think everyone thought it was over because historically that's when it's
did
over.
Old takes exposed, grab that tweet and blast it out.
He should. You know, that should happen, but it shows. And I think the Warriors lose game 6. I'll go on record and say it right now. I think they are spent. I think they are drained. I think that was everything they had. They're going to lose in game 6. That being said, I'm shocked that we're here. I'm shocked that with all the details we have and all the info and the injury and everything like that they found a way to force a game 6. And I know that sounds crazy because Golden State's Golden State, and I picked them to win the series and so did everyone else, but I think Toronto's got them. But tip of the cap to them for forcing a game 6, because I think that was a hell of an achievement that they pulled yesterday in the final couple minutes.
Yeah, do they retire when Kawhi Leonard leaves this offseason? Do they still retire his jersey?
Toronto, yes. Hell yes.
For
did you
1 year
see
of
that
service?
Run? Dude, did you see that run he made?
I know.
That was Jordan. I mean, that was insert whoever you want. That was, all right, I'm going to come in. And he had a bad game, by the way. Shooting the ball, he was struggling. Toronto hangs around, and it's like, okay, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And the Warriors somehow found a way to counterpunch that. So, yeah, I certainly hope KD didn't tear his Achilles. It looked like that. It's just a complete shakeup of the NBA. I hope he's okay, though.
While we're on the subject of championship rounds, congratulations to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for sending out alerts congratulating the not quite yet Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, because now karma's going to bite them in the ass and they're going to lose Game 7 to the Boston Bruins. And I wanted the Blues to win. I hate Boston sports. I hate whiny Boston fan crying over the call, the game last Thursday night, the tripping no call. You whiny bunch of babies. You got 20 championships in the last two decades, and you're still woe is me. You're trying to stick it to the man. And all. Get out of here. I can't stand whiny Boston fan. I can never root for Boston fan.
I love how you say Boston.
Boston. Yeah. Boston. Boston fan. The Bostonian calling in to tell us how great Tom Brady and the Patriots are. By the way, worst Boston accent imitation ever. I don't care.
I could go for some chowder.
I hate.
I'm not even kidding. I'm hungry.
I absolutely hate Boston fan. One of my best friends.
I like the Patriots. I don't like the other Boston team.
Diehard Red Sox fan. I was thrilled with him in 2004 when the Red Sox beat the Cardinals to end the curse of the Bambino or whatever. But they're just obnoxious now. So I'm really pulling for the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup. Also because I like different teams winning.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I won't mind if Toronto beats the Warriors, because I do like the idea of, you know, championships kind of getting spread around.
I want the Warriors to do it, and I know I'm going to get torched for saying that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I love Steph Curry. I'm sorry, everyone. I love Steph Curry.
You also want the Cavs to trade for Lonzo Ball.
Yeah,
you're
I do. Hell yeah, they should.
They absolutely should.
He's better than anyone they're getting at five.
Yeah.
No one's watched him. People in Cleveland didn't stay up long enough to watch the Lakers this year. And don't tell me you did. Don't tell me you watched Lonzo. You were stuck on LeBron if you did watch
him. I stayed up to watch LeBron. I admit it. I have no interest in the circus
the
freak
circus.
Show.
The circus? There is no freak
is,
show.
Yes.
No, there isn't. There is no freak show.
It was nice of LeBron's people to tell Lonzo's daddy to shut the hell up. That was smart. But I want, no. Nope, not worth it.
Lonzo Ball, Colin Sexton would be great together.
Nope.
They would.
Pass.
They would.
Hard pass.
And true basketball analysts know where I'm coming from.
Oh, true basketball analysts.
So everybody laughing right now? Sorry, amateur.
So the Cavaliers are going to go from 25 wins to 26. Great.
Oh, well, that if you have that defeated personality or defeated mindset, of course.
No, I have. I
love the idea of a core of Kevin Love, Lonzo Ball. Think about it. Lonzo,
you
Colin
to
Sexton,
turn me into
Jetty
an alcoholic?
Osmond, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson.
Ugh.
They're going to win 35 plus. We're going to be talking about a potential 8 seed.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be talking about a potential 8 seed.
Oh, great.
Lonzo Ball, baby.
Great, that's what I want to be. I want to flash back to the late 90s when the Cavaliers were getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs every year as the 8 seed. Great.
That's the next step. You realize that. The next step isn't the 1 seed again. You're not going to luckily get the hometown hero to come home. It doesn't happen. You're going to have to build. You're going to have to build like the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm not ruling out a Steph Curry retirement tour.
Like the Golden State Warriors built themselves.
What if Steph Curry signed with the Cavs his final year?
Oh, I would buy it.
Because he was born in Akron.
It'd be great. It'd be great. It would never happen.
No.
He'd be out of his damn mind. I would never leave Golden State.
Oh,
I think KD's crazy, with or without injury, to leave Golden State. I would never leave. Ever. I would be there forever. Always.
Yeah, but you know what? These guys, they not Steph, because that did get built while he was there. Mm-hmm. He was one of the centerpieces, but these NBA players really feel like that they are a centerpiece and they can build their own team.
That's fine. You can feel that way, but I don't chase bad management.
Oh, I don't. For example,
I got hired here in December. Don't think I asked around the business to see, oh, how's that place run? I'm not coming here. If I'm told, oh, dude, it's rough. It's, if you go there, you're going to have to be doing all this. No. I heard it was well run. That was the first thing I was worried about. More important than anything else was that. I know the Warriors are well run, and I know people are crushing them today because KD put themselves out there. The Knicks, the Warriors didn't force KD out there. I'll say that right now. And I get people are going to crush the Warriors. They didn't force him out there.
Right.
And they are well run, and they are going to put pieces around you, and they are going to do –
Bob Melvin last night really fell
Bob
on
Myers.
That sword. Or Myers, I should, yeah. He really fell on that sword.
He
My
did.
Goodness gracious.
That's how I view it. But you're right. Kyrie leaving Boston. Yeah. I mean,
he wanted to leave the Cavaliers to go elsewhere because he felt he was the centerpiece. And in Boston,
I don't blame him
that
for
he's
that.
Not.
I get some players that don't want to stick with LeBron, especially if they know LeBron's leaving.
Yeah, but...
So that part, and I think he knew LeBron was out, and he knew that LeBron wanted to trade him for Chris Paul, Paul George trade. You know, Kyrie had been floating some trades, and I just think he was like, all right, I'm out. But leaving Boston for the Brooklyn Nets, I get Brooklyn appears to be well run now. I don't think I'm doing that.
I can't wait to watch that.
I don't think I'm doing that. That's how I view it.
I actually hope he goes to Brooklyn so they have two miserable basketball teams in New York to cry about.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Is it wrong that I'm like that? I'm enjoying all these. Now that the Browns have gotten their crap together, I'm all about the dumpster fire.
Steelers, it's entertaining.
The Steelers being like now I have no sympathy because I covered it for 20 years here in Cleveland. But, you know, the Steelers drama, the Kyrie mess, like, I'm enjoying all these flare-ups across the country, all these dumpster fires, if you will, of problems and organizations and drama and stupidity and poor management. Like, it's actually entertaining for me now. Because I'm not in the middle of it, having to deal with it, but I'm like, so this is how the rest of the country felt watching the Browns burn for 20 years.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. It was one of those things where you have to look, you have to watch it because it's almost reality TV. He's Darrell Ryder. I'm James Erpine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Speaking of the Browns, we'll get into the Browns in about 10 minutes here. If you're looking for the latest Browns coverage, there's one spot. You bookmark it, you favorite it, you save it on your phone. It's 92.3thefan.com where Darrell Ryder has you covered. I'm on the Indians beat. Let's spend a few minutes on the Indians before we get to the Browns because I'm selfish and decided to talk about the Indians first. And let's start. Tribe, they win 4 of 6. They take a series from the Twins. They take a series from the Yankees. They're suddenly...
You forgot they also beat the Twins 2 out of 3.
I said the Twins. I didn't say the Red Sox.
Oh, Red Sox.
But I don't count that because then they drop 3 or 4 to the White Sox, which you can't do. If you're going to beat one Sox, you can't lose to the other Sox, and they did. Overall, I think that the Indians are still in it, even though everyone's buried them. And I've been on the optimistic side. I'm not saying I like their chances, still 10.5 back from Minnesota. I get it. It's tough in the AL Central. That being said, if it's going to happen, and I wrote about this week, and it's time to be critical as you're going to be of Jose Ramirez. If they're going to turn it around, Jose Ramirez can't have 2 hits in a series, and that's what he had against New York. 2 hits. He hasn't hit a home run since May 14th. That's almost a month, dangerous Darrell Ryder. If they're going to turn it around, Trevor Bauer on the mound tonight against the Reds, against Luis Castillo, who's been much better than Trevor Bauer this year. Bauer needs to pitch well. Ramirez needs to show up. They need their stars to be stars. Lindor's doing that. Hell, Oscar Mercado's doing that. Some of the younger guys are doing that. Guess who isn't? They're 2 stars. They need that to change starting today.
I got killed a month ago because I said Jose Ramirez was done. Well, guess what? He's done nothing to
shut up, Darryl.
Prove me wrong.
Shut up, Darryl.
He's
done. It's easy
done.
To say he's done. You really think he's done?
Done.
It's over. So should they trade him?
Yes.
You would trade him.
He's not worth a bag of baseballs right now. I would try and trade him.
You could easily find a team that thinks they could fix him. You know that, right? It's still early enough.
Fine.
Now, if you wait another year.
Guess what? I'll take your top prospects for him. You're stupid, but here you go. Good luck with that.
Well,
I don't think he's fixable. There's nothing. Here's why I say it's not fixable. Because the ball doesn't pop off the bat. Like, when a guy's just off a hair, because the ball's still popping off the bat. He's getting really good contact. It's just he's hitting it to the wrong spot. Jose Ramirez isn't doing that, okay?
And I don't mean to cut you off. It's just I want to double
you do,
down on
you.
Your...
I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, the reason I say that, though, who's everyone kind of ripping right now? Jason Kipnis. People are all over Jason Kipnis.
He's
right?
making $14 million to do jack.
Yeah, he's not doing nothing, right? Ball's still popping off of his bat. When he does hit it, that thing jumps off the bat. And a lot of his hits recently, or the contact he's made, has gone right at a defender. But at least it's like, okay, that defender made a hell of a catch. Or that was a hard hit line drive to second. Or that was this or that. Jose doesn't have that.
Nope.
And I'm with you there. Like, he does not even have that. And we're talking about Jason Kipnis. Jose Ramirez and Jason Kipnis are 6 years apart. They're completely different stages of their careers. There's zero chance we should be having this conversation. And yet, Jose Ramirez is barely over the Mendoza line at 203 with his batting average of 203 today going into the game against the Reds. It's rough.
He's back off the interstate again.
He was down to 198.
I know. He's on and off the interstate. He's done. It's over.
So you would trade him?
I would.
Let's say you don't get top prospects for him.
I'm fine. I would take a guy that could potentially help me in 2021 for Jose Ramirez. Yes. Because Jose Ramirez is doing nothing for me right now. Jose Ramirez is killing me right now.
He is, no doubt.
He is one of the reasons I'm 10.5 games out right now.
Huge reason. He had, at this stage, 65 games into the year last year, he had 19 home runs.
Yeah,
19. Can you imagine if he had 15 more home runs? They would at least have 4 or 5 more wins. They've had a lot of one-run games. And they've had a lot of games where they couldn't hit, where if he's hitting a home run, it changes the whole momentum. Everything's different. And
I have a theory.
All right, Ken Carmen, let's hear it.
Stopped eating his Wheaties.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know, man. I just, Ramirez, I've never, it's unprecedented. Like, because now this isn't, it was 40 games last year where he hit under 200. And then 65 this year. We're talking 105 games, not including the playoffs, because I get it, it's different than the playoffs. 105 regular season games. It's almost a whole damn season, Daryl. Hitting under 200.
Yeah, I think he's done. I don't hear the ball pop off his bat. And that tells me that he's either lost or he's lost it completely. So,
you know what's crazy?
And it's starting to affect his defense a little bit.
It is.
Too.
He's had some errors. And I think that's a mental thing where now he's just pressing and he's worried.
Yeah.
And that's what you see.
I think you're better just move on because he's killing you. Absolutely. Killing
if
you.
I would have came on this podcast at the beginning of the year and said Roberto Perez is going to be a better hitter than Jose Ramirez, the whole damn world would have crushed me. Everyone. Yan Gomes from Washington would have called into the podcast and ripped me.
Like me ripping you for wanting Lonzo
Ball. Look how that's going
to
look in about 6 months. I'm not going to forget your comments, people. Just
go
don't,
right
don't
ahead.
Forget that. I'm not going to forget the blasphemy. To use a word that Stephen
I don't think
a
the Cavs
uses.
Have much interest in Lonzo Ball.
They should,
either.
Though, is what I'm saying. I don't care what they have. I'm telling you they should. Anyways, we'll break it a second. But to me, as good as the Indians have played over the past week, and they've beaten three good teams in four of their four series, you know, that's encouraging, right?
But
and
that shows you how deep the hole is for them, is that they are hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Setting aside what happened the 3-4 to the White Sox, but they have won series against three playoff teams in Boston, the Yankees, and the Twins, and they're still double digits out. There's no climbing out of this cellar. They are not going to make that. And I realize,
the Twins haven't had a slide yet.
Yeah,
they are going to.
I realize I'm saying this in early to mid-June here, and there's a lot of baseball to be played, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and the end of September. I just don't see the Indians making up that deficit. And I'll be honest with you, I really have no desire to watch them either lose a wild card game or win a wild card game only so they can get their ass kicked in the division series for a third straight year. I just don't have any desire to watch that.
Here's the thing, though. You just watch them beat the Red Sox. You just watch them beat the Twins. You just watch them beat...
Can I tell you how many years the Indians beat the hell out of teams in the regular season and then lost to them in the postseason?
Sure. And
also vice versa, where they got smoked by teams in the regular season. So regular season does not matter in October baseball. What I'm saying, though, is this team is not good enough and it is ill-equipped to compete in October. Therefore, I would rather punt on this year, retool, and come back and get them in 2021.
That's the hardest thing you're asking them to do. It's next to impossible. Because who are you trading?
Brad Hand? Trevor Bauer?
He's under contract next year.
Jose Ramirez?
And who's replacing Brad Hand as your closer, who's literally been the best closer in the game? I haven't looked at the numbers. He's allowed 3 runs all year.
And guess
he's allowed one run since April 15th.
Guess what you can get for Brad Hand?
That's fine. who's going to replace him as a closer for next year? Because you have to answer that.
I know. I'll worry about that next year.
Will you?
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to spend big money on a closer. Or you're going to have to give up assets to get one. Because the closer just isn't here.
I get to save $14 million next year when I don't have.
Even if you say, I want a prospect in AAA like James Karinchak to be the guy. Great. I love his first name and he throws heaters. I love it. The problem with James Karinchak is he's inexperienced and he's not going to be like Brad Hand. So it's going to be interesting.
You can do a quick my point is if you trade Brad Hand, you can get two elite, ready-to-go major league prospects for
him. Where are they playing? Second in outfield?
God, I hope so. Because that's where the Indians need the most help.
Second is the place.
Oh, wait a minute. Come to think of it, they need help with third base, too.
Oh, for more on that, 92.3thefan.com. I got you covered for the Red Series as well on our website. We'll do a pregame video, as always, and more at 92.3thefan.com. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Up next, let's talk Browns, and we'll get to your questions. That is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast rolls on right here on 92.3thefan.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Welcome back into the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Erpine. He is Darryl Ryder. He was at Browns minicamp last week. It was mandatory, which means Odell Beckham Jr. was there with that watch. That watch was worth more than your house here in Cleveland, my house back in Cincinnati when I had a house. Now I have an apartment, and our cars combined, I think. That watch looked amazing. And he wore that on a football field. Couldn't wear that on a football field. OBJ's a little different. His lifestyle a little different than ours, Darryl.
Appreciate that, James. Thanks. I feel much better about myself.
I know. And he's younger than both of us, too, by the way. Let's put that out there.
How about him rolling around Los Angeles with the Browns orange Rolls Royce, which he, by the way, says he is going to be bringing to Cleveland. So OBJ, not going to be hard to spot.
I wonder where
he's
going to live. That's going to be interesting. You have an idea, probably.
I do.
Yeah. No, don't say. I wonder. I don't think it'll be downtown.
Well, I wasn't going to say.
I don't think it'll be downtown. Fair to say that? It won't be downtown?
I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being neighbors with Jarvis Landry.
Interesting. Yeah, that would make sense.
They are BFFs,
yeah,
right?
Why not?
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah. Imagine the social media stuff. All this goes well as soon as the Browns go out. Anyway, all right, let's dive into, and you did a great job on our website of covering minicamp, and we had videos and interviews and all different types of stuff. Also on Twitter as well, at Right or Wrong Fan. What stood out to you? What are some things that you haven't told or you've written about, but you want to get out there here on the pod for people to hear about that if they missed any of your coverage last week from minicamp?
Greedy Williams is the truth.
Ooh.
Right guard is going to be very interesting to watch in training camp. Kalis, Kush, and Corbett competing for that job. The kicking competitions, you're going to need Maylocks to watch that thing because I don't think either one of these kickers are particularly that great. They didn't have good springs at all, but it is spring. But, you know, Greg Joseph and Seibert, that'll be an intriguing battle to watch in training camp, and I think it might be one of the more important battles in training camp just because you're going to have games that come down to kicks. You cannot lose games this year because you have a subpar kicker.
And you know what stinks? Robbie Gould wants to get out of the Bay or wants to get out of San Fran.
Yeah.
And you know where he wants to go? Closer to Chicago. Would have been a perfect – you spent a fifth round – or it was a fifth rounder, right?
Don't be shocked if the Browns end up signing a kicker after all the cuts get made.
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't. I'll be honest with you. It wouldn't shock me.
It's a quick drive to Chicago. Quick flight too for Robbie Gould.
I mean, listen, Joseph and Seibert got big legs, no question about it. But the accuracy just is. It's. I feel uneasy when I watch them kick. I have no confidence in either guy. And again, you know, that certainly can change in training camp and the preseason. I'm just giving you my
as of now. Right. This is mini camp.
And also, I want to be fair to those guys as well. I've had limited viewing of them. You know, OTAs. I got three practices to watch them. That's, you know, one practice per week. You know, I had three mini camp practices to watch them. So my opinion and my evaluation is based on a very limited sample size.
Sure.
So I want to be fair to those guys because for all I know, you know, these guys are crushing everything when the reporters and the cameras are not around. But that's going to be an interesting and, again, one of the most compelling, if not the most important battle to watch in training camp. The other thing I really notice, and we always say this, like when there's a different head coach, you know, because the practice always feels different. And again, though, in fairness, when Hugh came here, practice felt different. When Eric Mangini came here, every time they change the head coach, practice always feels different.
Sure.
And once again, this year, practice feels different. There's a tempo, there's a pace, there's a purpose to practice. I like the fact that, you know, what they do is, you know, for individual periods where they have a scoreboard, whether they're in the Casey Coleman Fieldhouse or they're out on the practice field, they'll put the time of the session up on the scoreboard. Oh. So we always know, you know, how much more is left in this particular drill, whether they're running a 7-on-7, 11-on-11, 2-minute drill, less than a minute to play drill, game situation, whatever. You know, he's not afraid if he didn't get out of that session what he wanted to just let the clock hit triple zeros and make him keep going. He's done that a couple of times. He's not real big into ending practice early. I think that the Thursday, and that was because they had some stuff they had to do on Thursday before everyone got out for the offseason. He did end the final minicamp practice a little early, but again, there was a purpose behind that. He's not a guy that's just going to be like, okay, we got done what we needed to do. We're going to end, you know, 45 minutes early like Hugh Jackson would do last year. Mm-hmm.
Fans are going to eat that up.
Oh, they're going to love it.
But I don't necessarily think that dictates success by any stretch. But I do think fans are going to eat that up.
But my point is he's making sure he's getting out of practice what he's looking get out of practice.
Sure.
I will also say there's a lot less cussing on the field this year. A lot fewer F-bombs.
Interesting.
Well, Greg Williams isn't here. That's why.
Oh, okay. I was like, Hugh? Really? Okay. Yeah, Greg Williams. That's fair. I forgot about Greg.
You bleepity bleep. What the bleepity bleep are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Someone get that man some lozenges.
So nice job, you bleeping kicker.
I know.
Training camp this year is going to be a little more family friendly, I think. So feel free to bring the little ones out to Berea.
Yeah, I have plenty of those. I'm just kidding. I know you were talking to the listeners. The way you said it, though, I felt like a listener.
You got your marriage license.
I got my marriage license today, man.
Peter Lynn's engaged now. I'm like last man. I'm last single man standing here at this place. It's fantastic.
Are you? I don't think you are.
I'm becoming extinct here.
No, Chapman.
Chapman's single. Okay.
Who else is single? I don't know. Anyways. Baker Mayfield isn't single.
No, he's not.
That's a guy who's not single.
He will be having a wedding next month, I believe.
Yeah, mine's at the end of this month. Mine's in 18 days. Guess what?
Are you nervous?
Probably not doing a no, not at all.
No,
no.
That's right. I think I'm on vacation when you're having your wedding.
Yeah, I the schedule came out yesterday.
Still checking the mail for that invitation, by the way.
Oh, here we go. Would you really want to travel to Michigan?
No, not really.
See.
If we're being honest, I'd have to buy my gas in Toledo.
I'm a man of many travels, Daryl. That's what I said. Many travels.
I'm a
well-traveled human. One thing that stood out, and I think that a lot of Browns fans reacted to, and I've made my opinion clear about this Duke Johnson thing. When you're an average, and if you want to say slightly above average, fine. But when you're an average running back, or you're an average worker, or you can be replaced, or you're replaceable, guess what? You can't be a diva. I think Duke Johnson's been a diva. Baker Mayfield comes out and is honest and says it's self-inflicted.
Yep.
I do think it's self-inflicted. There have been interesting comments about that. Some say Baker should have backed his teammate to a degree and kind of stayed neutral. Others like what Baker said. Where do you stand on that? Obviously, you were there. You got to hear the entire press conference. You got to hear the entire tone about it. What were your thoughts on Baker's comments about Duke, Duke's comments about the team and the trade, and all of that? That's the biggest controversy surrounding the Browns right now, which is a hell of a problem to have because it's nothing. You know, Duke Johnson being disgruntled is nothing. So just what are your thoughts on this whole thing and your takeaways from Baker and Duke in their comments?
Yeah, get him out of here.
Get him out of here! Would you trade him for Jose Ramirez?
No. My thing with the whole situation. First of all, Baker said nothing wrong. I get the criticism, especially from like ex-players and stuff, because there is a code in the league that you don't talk about another guy's money, another guy's business. Listen, Duke just got paid. He got 3 years, $15 million. Now, he's not going to see all 3 years and $15 million, but he's going to get his guaranteed money this year as well. So, you know, he's trying to position himself for his next contract to be better. And the only way he can do that is if he gets more touches, he gets, you know, more opportunities and all that kind of stuff. But I have no issue with what Baker said because what he said was absolutely right. The issue is self-inflicted. Duke Johnson created this issue. And the other thing too is, you know, Baker and the Browns are concentrated on other stuff right now. Who gives a crap about Duke Johnson and his touches and his carries and whether or not he's upset? Do you want to win football games or do you want to get touches? That's your choice, okay? What's most important to you? Were you happier because you were getting touches and you were getting close to 1,000 yards receiving every year while the Browns won a grand total of 4 effing games? Or are you going to be okay if, well, there's going to be a game here and there where you're really not going to be getting a whole lot of touches, but we're going to win? Like, what's more important to you? And what Duke Johnson has said is that I am more important. My next contract is more important than this team. I showed my loyalty, to use his terminology or his phraseology, I showed my loyalty to the organization by re-signing last year after going through 1-15 and 0-16, they should remain loyal to me. Well, that's not how life works. We are all replaceable. I am replaceable. James, you're replaceable. Like,
no doubt. Say that again.
In business today, we are all replaceable. It's one of the life lessons that I was lucky enough to be taught when I was 18, 19 years old getting in this business. And it was make yourself indispensable. Don't just pigeonhole yourself into one little role. Be able to do everything. Know how to do everything. Be proficient at doing everything. Therefore, you are harder to replace. You're still replaceable, but you're harder to replace. Duke Johnson plays a position that is the easiest to replace in the National Football League, and that's running back. Fair or not, that's the way it is. Pittsburgh Steelers didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell, best running back in the league. Why? Because they're a dime a dozen. That's how it's treated. The days of, you know, it's 1964, and we built our team around Jim Brown in the running game. Those days are over. I can pick up a first down. I can score a touchdown. I can move the ball faster by throwing it because the officials can call 12 different penalties to give me a first down without completing a pass. That's the reality of the National Football League. Duke Johnson's a good player. I like Duke Johnson the player, but I don't like Duke Johnson the drama queen. You know, when you have to come out and say that you're not a drama queen and that you've always been the team guy and that you're not going to be a disgruntled guy, you are. James, I don't mean to offend you, which means I'm about to offend you. Like, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. If you have to tell me, if Hugh Jackson, if you have to remind me you're the bus driver, that you're in charge, well, I don't really have much respect for you.
I have to check the tape.
Yeah, like, I just, I... So that's where I could get him out of here. Yeah. Do us all a favor. Do Duke a favor. Get him out of here. Do us all a favor. Get him out of here.
You know what he's trying to do.
Because he doesn't want to be here.
He's trying to get released.
Of course he is. And guess what? I'm not giving him away.
No, that's what he's trying to do, and he's hurting his value because if I'm New England, a team that literally has a different game plan every single week, that could deploy the ground and pound 1 week and then throw 15 passes to Duke Johnson the next week, he won't be happy there. If I'm a team that's trying to win next year, guess who I don't want? Duke Johnson.
Thank you.
If I'm a young team with a young running back that they just drafted, i.e. the Oakland Raiders, guess who I don't want around him? Duke Johnson, even though they have brought on every other headache in the NFL, so maybe they should be interested.
Here's the other thing.
He's tanking his value.
Yep.
And he wants to get cut, and John Dorsey's not going to cut him.
No.
So he should just shut up and do his job, and then maybe he will get a job elsewhere by getting traded. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it would be if you're unhappy with your role at your work, you don't have a temper tantrum. You don't go in your boss's office and lose your damn mind and cuss him out and walk out. That's not how you do it. No. And that's basically what Duke Johnson did when he kept it up with the media. It makes no sense. If I was him, I would be the exact opposite. I'd say, I'm here to do a job. I'm ready to win. I'm excited for the changes we've made. I was here through the crap.
That's how you handle it. And then privately, you walk into John Dorsey's office and say, get me the hell out of
here. Yes.
Two more points on Duke Johnson, then we can wrap this thing up. Number one, the Cleveland Browns tried to trade Joe Thomas, and they could have gotten a first-round pick from him for the Denver Broncos, and at the very last second, they said, let's not do that. Two.
We should have.
Yeah. And two, Duke, you aren't worth anything. Nobody wants to give up anything of any value. So maybe your high opinion of yourself is just a little too high right now, all right? Because if John Dorsey could have gotten a third-round pick for you, guess what? I guarantee you John Dorsey makes that trade.
Duke Johnson wouldn't be the starter on any teams.
No.
On any of the teams in the division.
Nope.
You understand that? The Bengals have two running backs that are better than Duke Johnson. The Ravens have at least one in Mark Ingram. The Steelers, obviously, James Conner. I take him all day over Duke Johnson. It's not even close. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, we got to get to some questions.
Yep.
We got to get to some questions here. At Right or Wrong Fan, at James Rapine on Twitter, we asked for the questions from you. You answered. We have a ton. All right, I will start. I'll throw one to you, and you might have already answered this, Daryl, but Sean asked, who was the biggest riser from Browns minicamp that no one is talking about?
I would probably say Ishmael Hyman. He's a receiver that he got a lot of reps with the first team offense.
Nice.
I think part of that, they were just kind of taking a look, see what the kid has, see what he's made of. They didn't want to overuse Odell. Jarvis wasn't out there, but I think Ishmael Hyman is somebody that I don't know that he's going to make the team, but he's someone that caught my attention because I saw him getting a lot of passes thrown to him from Baker Mayfield.
Interesting. That's an interesting one. We'll see how that plays out. Let's. You got any more here? All right. Mike says, do you think the only reason Leonis Martinez still on the Indians roster is due to his illness last season? Are the Indians scared to send him down or cut him because it will give them a bad look in the eyes of the public? No, I don't think that's it. I think they're loyal to veterans, Mike, and you saw with Carlos Gonzalez, they gave him every chance to succeed. I think they're doing that same thing with Leonis Martinez. Martinez showed more power at the plate than Cargo did. Obviously, they traded for him last year, so I think he's certainly a guy that, while I don't think he's going to be in the lineup all year long, they're going to give him every chance to succeed, and they kind of like what they're doing now with that rotation in the outfield versus righties and lefties day in and day out. So I think Leonis, for now, is up here.
Here's a good one. This is from at Socrates on Twitter. What are the odds?
Socrates.
Socrates.
Oh, really? Okay. Go
yeah. Crane is the guy's name. What are the odds the Cavs trade JR before the draft? I don't know that they're going to trade him before the draft. It would not surprise me if they moved him the night of the draft or shortly after the draft.
I think by draft night, he's gone. So but at the end of draft night, he will be gone. And here's why. Is these teams that are trying to convince these top free agents to land there, they're going to want to clear out some cap space.
Yep.
So the team that, let's say the Knicks land Anthony Davis, that's great, but maybe they need to clear a little bit more cap. And I would need to look at the Knicks. But there are a lot of teams, the Miami Heat are a team. The Boston Celtics are a team. These teams are going to try to clear out cap space a lot like Brooklyn did last week. And that's what J.R. Smith is, a piece. You trade for his contract. You don't want the player. Right. You trade for his contract. Well, you pay him $3 million. You cut him. You get him the hell out of there, and you free up a bunch of space.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. This is from at Titus3891. What are the odds the Indians going into sell mode, in your opinion? And if they do, who do you see the team trading away?
Well, obviously, we joke about the Jose Ramirez thing. I don't think that they will trade him. I think that that's just kind of, I don't even want to say wishful thinking, because it's a nightmare scenario no matter how you slice it if they get to that point with him. Brad Hand, obviously, is a guy they'll look at. Trevor Bauer, they're going to take calls on Trevor. And the other one that I think people don't realize, but it would clear a space, and this opens up another question, when could Bobby Bradley get called up? I think they will listen to offers. If they become sellers for Carlos Santana, because he's got one more year next year. He's having a really good season. If you can get something of value for him, cut that salary off the books for next year, and you can clear a spot for Bobby Bradley, I think they would consider doing that. So they're not in sell mode yet. I think the next month is very pivotal leading into the All-Star break for the Indians. If they're still around 500, then we could see them be sellers.
Okay, this is from Tyler Spain at tspain07. What is a realistic number of games back at the end of July, division and wild card, for the Indians to keep their core and push for the playoffs this season?
A realistic number of games back, it would obviously have to be single digits. I think if they're within five or six and they've made a push, and Corey Kluber's around the corner, and Clevinger looks like himself, and Trevor Bauer looks like himself, and maybe you do end up promoting a Bobby Bradley or something like that. The lineup, you feel better about the overall lineup. Maybe Jose Ramirez realizes that he is a legitimate MVP candidate, or has been over the past couple of years. If those things happen, and that's a lot of ifs, if those things happen, I think that you could still go for it. Because if you're five games back going into August, and you're starting to hit your stride, near the Indians, considering where you are now with injuries and things like that, I think you feel really good about the Twins folding down the stretch and you making a push, because you've been there, done that. Say what you want, they've dominated this division, and there's a reason they have, because they've been there, they're experienced. So I think there certainly is that scenario. I'm not saying it's likely, but I think it could happen.
All right. There you go.
Man, that's a lot of questions in a quick time. Not many Browns questions. We got a lot of Browns in there, though. Give me a record.
We already answered the Duke Johnson question.
Yeah, so that's true. Give me a record prediction. Dude, I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
It's, I got 10-6. That's easy. I've said 10-6 for about 3 months now.
I had the Indians at 87 wins. I'm going to drop that down to 83 wins as of now.
For some reason, I picked them to win between 93 and 94 games.
What?
At the beginning of the year in spring training.
What?
Well, I thought that they were a much better team than they are. I didn't anticipate Jose Ramirez was going to be hitting my weight. I didn't think that, you know, the pitching staff would
be. Man, you weigh 203.
Sarcasm. I didn't anticipate that, you know, three-fifths of the pitching rotation were going to be on the IL, correct? They keep changing the vernacular.
Yeah, IL, injured list. No, I agree with you. You couldn't predict all that stuff. Yeah. Here's the thing that I didn't predict.
I didn't think
Minnesota was going to win 100 games, but that's what they're on pace to do.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been the shock of the league.
Yeah, well, there were people, though, that did pick the Twins to win the division.
And I should see that. 90 wins, not 100-plus wins. Yeah, they've been great.
I didn't think that
they're going to fall off.
And they're smashing the baseball,
The next time we do this podcast, or maybe 2 weeks from now. No, next time, because the draft. I'm hoping we're hearing about Lonzo Ball to the Cavs. He's Daryl Ryder. God. I'm James Rapine. For more of us, check out our website, 923thefan.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast. Until next week, thank you so much for listening to the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.